It says, then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly follow the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. That would be 85, for those who don't know how much a score is. 80 is 80. 85 years old. And yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him, and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakim, and the land had rest from war. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God, and for another opportunity to look into it. Guide us and direct us through the working of your Holy Spirit. Help us to find things we can use in our lives so that we can serve you the way you so rightfully deserve to be served. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. In the Bible, we are given some wonderful examples of men and women who lived a victorious life for the Lord. And one example that we have in Scripture is that of this man named Caleb. The Bible tells us Caleb was someone who was holy, that is, totally, fully, completely committed to the Lord. Now, Caleb was a man who had a ringside seat at some of the great things that took place as God delivered his people from Egyptian bondage and led them to the promised land. Caleb was part of Israel when they left Egypt. He was there when God parted the waters of the Red Sea. He was there when God fed Israel with manna from heaven. He was there when God led Israel by a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Remember, the people of Israel had spent over 400 years in bondage in Egypt. And now God is leading them into the promised land. And we call it the promised land because God had promised them that he would give it to them. But before they were allowed to enter the promised land, God told them to do something. Now, keep your finger here in Joshua 14. Put a marker or something. We're coming right back. But turn over to the book of Numbers for a moment. Numbers chapter 13. Here's what God told them to do before they could enter the promised land. Verses 1 and 2, it says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Numbers 13, this is verse 2, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man. So there were 12 tribes, 12 men were chosen, every one a ruler among them. And so God said, Moses, I want you to take one of the rulers from each of the 12 tribes and send them ahead into the promised land to kind of spy out the land. That's what God told them to do, and they did what God told them to do. But when the spies came back, you probably know the story, 10 of them reported, we don't care what God has promised us. We cannot go and enter that land because it's filled with giants. That was 10 of them. But 2 of the spies, Joshua and this man named Caleb, they came back and gave a different report. They said, we can do it. God is with us, and we should do it immediately. But unfortunately, Israel chose to believe the majority report, the 10 spies. And God was so displeased that he caused them to spend 40 years wandering in the wilderness. And this teaches us a valuable lesson, and the lesson is that the majority is not always right. The majority is not always right. When Joshua and Caleb went to the promised land with those other 10 spies, they saw exactly the same things that those other 10 saw. But they saw it through the eyes of faith. Everything they saw looked great. You might say they went spiritual window shopping through the land. And there's nothing wrong with window shopping. I like it when I'm with my girls and they just go window shopping. It saves me a lot of money when they just go window shopping. And a lot of people do that, you know, especially women, they like to do that. Men, not so much because they don't quite understand it. Like the guy who asked his wife, why do you call it shopping when you never buy anything? Her reply was, why do you call it fishing when you never catch anything? Well, as Christians, we need to do more than window shop with God's promises. We need to appropriate them. And this morning, I want us to see what it was that enabled Caleb, this 85-year-old man, to possess that which God had promised him. And we're going to focus on two things this morning. First of all, Caleb's commitment. Caleb's commitment. Now go back to Joshua 14 again and look at verses 8 and 9. It says, nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. Now, the first key to Caleb's success was that God had all of Caleb that there was. Notice that repeated phrase, wholly followed the Lord. That is said about Caleb 6 times in the Old Testament. And it's a phrase that means to close the gap. It's a phrase used by hunters to refer to their closing the gap between themselves and their prey. And it refers to the fact that Caleb was committed to keeping the distance between himself and the Lord to a minimum. Every inch, every ounce, every nerve, every fiber of Caleb's being belonged to God. And that was a decision that he made every single day. You see, each day we determine how close we're going to live to God. That's why James instructs us in James chapter 4 and verse 8, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. We need to choose to live close to God every day. We need to choose to draw nigh to Him every day. We need to choose to pray about every move we make. We need to choose to be careful to guard our thoughts. We need to choose to be careful to guard the words that come out of our lips. And the Apostle Paul tells us that this is sensible. This is the reasonable thing to do. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. That is, every day we are to yield and surrender and commit our entire selves to the Lord. And then he ends that verse by saying, which is your reasonable service. It's reasonable. We need to choose to live close to God every day. That is the sensible and the reasonable thing to do as a believer. And that's a decision Caleb made every day. Caleb was totally committed to God. Caleb made no provision for failure. I'm reminded of a story about Julius Caesar. When Julius Caesar landed on the shores of Britain with his Roman legions, he took a bold and decisive step to ensure the success of his military venture, ordering his men to halt on the edge of the cliffs of Dover. He commanded them to look down at the water below. And to their amazement, they saw every ship in which they had crossed the channel engulfed in flames. Caesar had deliberately cut off any possibility of retreat. And now that his soldiers were unable to return to the continent, there was nothing left for them to do but advance and conquer. And that's exactly what they did. And my point is, too many Christians have left themselves some sort of an escape hatch back into the old life of sin. And we need to burn every bridge that leads us back to that old life. Some need to go home and do some house cleaning and get rid of all the trashy Hollywood magazines. Some need to cancel some of these movie channels on television, showing movies that are filled with nudity and cursing. We need to set our minds to the task of conquering our Canaan. Half-hearted Christians are faint-hearted Christians. They never learn to conquer the giants in their lives. The story is told of a man who rode in his car as it was being towed to the garage. Now, they don't usually let you do that, but in this case, the man sat there right in his car as it was being towed to the garage. And when they arrived at the garage, the tow truck driver told him, I didn't think I was going to make it up that big hill. To which the man in the car replied, I didn't either. That's why I kept the brakes on so we wouldn't roll backwards. Folks, to be without total dedication to Christ is the same as trying to go forward and holding back at the same time. There's only one way to stand up against the devil and move forward for the Lord, and that is to be totally committed to Jesus. You may be familiar with the name D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody was a great evangelist for God. He lived in the mid to late 1800s. D.L. Moody was saved at the age of 19 in a shoe store on State Street in Boston. If you go there to State Street today, it's a big bank building, but on the front of the bank building, there's a little plaque recognizing the conversion of the evangelist D.L. Moody. If you'd like to see a picture of it, I know I looked it up last night, and if you Just go to the computer and type in Dwight L. Moody. It shows that plaque on Wikipedia. You can click on the Wikipedia thing and it shows the plaque. But he was saved in a little shoe store that was there on that site. He was led to the Lord by his Sunday school teacher, a man named Edward Kimball. But shortly after D.L. Moody was saved, he heard an evangelist by the name of Henry Varley say this: "The world has yet to see what God can do in and through and with and for a man who is totally committed to him." D.L. Moody, when he heard that, said, "By God's grace, I'll be that man." He was an uncultured, uneducated, untrained shoe salesman. But God used him as an evangelist to move two continents for Christ, leading hundreds of thousands of people to the Savior. Why? Because he was totally committed to the Lord. And so the question is, are you totally sold out to Jesus Christ and him alone this morning? Caleb was totally committed to trusting and serving God. And anything less would have kept him from being able to go forward in the blessing of God. And we too need to be completely committed to trusting and serving God so that we can go forward in the blessing of God. But you know what? That's a decision that only you can make for you. I can't make that decision for you. Nobody else can. Only you can make that decision for you. Again, I remind you the words of James 4:8, "Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you." That was Caleb's commitment. He was wholly, completely, totally, fully committed to the Lord. Now, the second thing that I want us to see this morning is Caleb's confidence. Look at verse 12. "Now therefore give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said." What was it that gave 85-year-old Caleb the idea that he could be a giant killer? What gave him that confidence? And the answer is, Caleb's faith was in God's word. God had made him a promise. He was claiming that promise and standing on that promise. He said, "If the Lord will be with me like he said he was going to be, then I can beat those giants and drive them out of that land." And you know what? I believe it absolutely thrills the Lord when he hears us as we face the giants in our life and we say, "With the Lord's help, I can defeat those giants." Joshua and Caleb lived to see all the doubters die off. All the first generation who refused to follow the Lord into the promised land and who instead believed those 10 spies, those people never entered the promised land. It was the next generation that got to go in. The only ones out of that first generation that got to go in were Joshua and Caleb. God kept Caleb alive through those 40 years in the wilderness. Look at verse 10. It says, "And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old." Everyone that believed those 10 spies and doubted God's word had died. And we're talking millions of people. Millions of people. That entire first generation died. And it was the second generation that got to enter the promised land. The only exceptions were Joshua and Caleb. God spared the lives of Joshua and Caleb to live to enter the promised land. Now, why were they spared? Well, Joshua was spared because he was faithful to God. He was one of the spies that brought the good report, but also he had already been chosen to be the next leader of Israel after Moses. By the time we get to this point in the book of Joshua, he's already in that spot. He's the leader of the nation of Israel. But God tells us exactly why he allowed Caleb to enter over in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 1. So turn there for a moment. We're coming back to Joshua, but turn to Deuteronomy chapter 1. And look at verses 35 and 36. Deuteronomy chapter 1. It says, "Surely there shall not one of these men of this evil generation see that good land, which I swear to give unto their fathers, save or except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. He shall see it, and to him will I give the land that he hath trodden upon, and to his children," now here's that phrase again, "because he hath wholly followed the Lord." Caleb had seen the promised land in that first survey trip. And for 45 years, that vision had burned in his heart as he wandered through the wilderness. While others complained, Caleb looked for a mountain where the milk and honey flowed and the grapes of Eshcol grew. He was able to see beyond the circumstances into the promises of God. And I can just see Caleb at this point, you know, marching up that mountain with a sword in one hand and a deed to his property in the other. And he's singing at the top of his lungs that old gospel song, "I want that mountain, I want that mountain where the milk and honey flow and the grapes of Eshcol grow. I want that mountain, I want that mountain, I want that mountain that the Lord has given me." I can hear him singing it as he's going up that mountain. Caleb knew that God had given it to him. So he claimed it by faith. You see, faith is not positive thinking. Faith is not optimism. Faith is not looking on the bright side. Faith is simply acting on what God's word tells us. That's the real definition of faith. It's taking God at his word. See, faith is more than saying that you believe something. It is acting on what you believe. Some say that faith is really nothing more than taking a blind leap in the dark. But no, faith is a deep, settled conviction that God will do what he has promised to do. It is taking God at his word. Caleb was allowed to enter the promised land while all of those doubters died and did not enter. What was the difference? The difference was those two things we've discussed: Caleb's commitment and Caleb's confidence. And we need to follow this same example. We need to commit ourselves totally to the Lord, and we need to place our confidence in his word. That's what Caleb did, and he experienced the blessing of God. That is the pathway to living a victorious, overcoming, successful Christian life. Commit yourself to the Lord and place your confidence in his word. Now, this is a message that I have preached this morning to believers. Believers need to take this message to heart. But in case there's somebody here that does not know Christ, you need to understand that the promise of God's help that was made to Caleb does not apply to you. You have no claim on God's promise to help you if you do not know God, if you do not have a personal relationship with Him through faith in Christ. That's your greatest need. Now, I'll tell you this. If you'll place your faith and trust in Christ, if you'll receive Him as your Savior, He will help you to be a victorious Christian. You can claim the promises of the Word of God. But the first step is to open up your heart and invite Christ in to be your Savior and Lord. If you've never done that, that's your greatest need. That makes you part of the family of God, and that gives you the privilege of claiming the promises of God. And so my challenge to you is don't leave here today without having asked Christ to be your Savior. Don't leave here today without knowing that you're a child of God on your way to heaven. God wants you to know that. We want you to know that. If we can help you with that, you let us know. But again, as believers in Christ, let's take this message to heart. Let's follow the example of a Caleb. Let's wholly follow the Lord. Let's commit ourselves to Him, and let's take seriously His word. Let's place our faith in the fact that God's word is true, and what God says He's going to do, He's going to do. You can trust it. Caleb found that out, and if we'll do what Caleb did, we'll find it out as well. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the word of God and for the opportunity to look into it this morning. I trust and pray that You help us as believers to take this to heart and apply these principles to our Christian life. Lord, help us to realize that You want great things for us. You want to bless us. You want to do wonderful things in our lives. But we have a responsibility to commit ourselves to You. We have a responsibility to take Your word seriously. And so, Father, help us to do that so that our lives can be in line with what You want to do in us and through us and for us. Lord, help us to just simply take the example of Caleb and put it into practice in our lives. And Lord, again, we pray that if there's somebody here who does not know Christ, they don't have a relationship with God because their faith is not in the Savior, I pray that today they would take that step of faith and open their heart and receive Christ in to wash their sins away, to give them everlasting life, and to make them a child of God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.